The purpose of these is to allow everyone to get a sense check of where we are. Information is developing ridiculously rapidly. And as you've already seen, that things can change within the space of 24 hours or even less. And it's been quite challenging to keep people up to date. So it was felt that it would be nice to get people together, if only just for a bit of a virtual hug and catch up. We've done a few of these now as a senior team, and it actually works quite effectively at keeping people up to space, up to speed, especially the fact that so many of us are either now isolated or working from home. So what I might do is just hand over to Rachel now, if she's here. Rachel, I'm going to unmute you.
I unmuted myself.
There we go, okay.
I can do this technology now. I'm getting really good at this Zoom business. Right, hello everybody. Oh, go on, give us a wave. Right, okay, so just, yay, they're waving. Yay! Okay, so just to give you a quick heads up, first, thank you to everybody who I've asked to do something, and you've got it done for me really, really quickly. It's made my life much easier, and I know everybody's been doing their little projects for me, so thank you very much. Obviously, lots of things are across the floor with the COVID response. As far as children's go, all we've seen is a decrease in our footfall, and quite a Q-word department. So for us, it's a little bit tricky because we're not really seeing the really sick people coming in with COVID-19, which is what we would expect. And actually, it's very interesting, but the rates of diarrhea and vomiting and also bronchiolitis seem to have fallen through the floor. Now, it may be that people are just managing better at home, but it may also be that all this hand washing and judicious use of Dettol is actually keeping people from getting quite so sick at home. So we haven't really seen a huge amount coming through the doors. However, adults definitely are ranking up. I was on last night. They've unfortunately had a number ranking up in adults. So because of that, the adult department will be splitting next week into a red and a blue zone, which will be clean and dirty. And at the same time, the children's ED will do the same, because I think otherwise it's very confusing if we're staying the same and they're changing. So to summarize, what will happen is, you may have seen, if you've been at work, we now have a very beautiful porta cabin. I am reassuring you all, it will have doors. They're going on over the weekend, so it's not quite as open plan as it looks. But we have a porta cabin outside the front, which is where we will be doing whether a patient is at risk of COVID-19 or not at risk of COVID-19. And thank you for the nurses who were on last night, who have looked through the triage sieves that we've made and have said that they think they're easy to use and that they're happy with those. So what will happen is, in that porta cabin, during the daytime, yeah, of course, you can just show me. Sorry, Sue's just come down to join me rather than sitting in the office next door.
I can't hear anybody, but I can hear you talking.
So, yeah, so during the daytime, it will be a senior decision maker and a healthcare assistant who are sitting out there. So either a consultant, a registrar, a DHU GP, or some of our advanced nurse practitioners as well will be able to go out there. But essentially, we want to put someone in that porta cabin who is able to send people home to self-isolate if they're well enough to do that. Overnight, we won't have enough medical staffing for that, so we've worked up the nursing numbers to include a nurse to go out there. And again, we won't expect you to necessarily deflect, but you know, you'll be able to sieve them. So, if you fulfill criteria that you might have COVID, you'll be directed to the main children's emergency department. So up the normal entrance, you'll come in and then you'll have your full triage done as you normally would. There won't be a VAC nurse, there will be an HCA sat keeping an eye on the waiting room. If you are a minor injury and you don't have a fever and don't have a cough, or if you're, say, a surgical abdominal pain, to the CSSU doors, desk, and be treated. Damien, I can't hear you off. Yeah, I can turn my video. Damien, can you hear me? I can't hear you, Damien.
Right, Rachel. Crack on.
Okay, super. So so if you're a torsion or a minor injury, you'll be directed to the CSSU entrance, where you will come through to the reception desk, be booked in, and again triaged and seen in the normal process. So this means that we will no longer have a short stay unit. However, we can still keep patients in the department to stretch inhalers and things like that. Because quite frankly, the 4-hour target seems to have gone out the window, so that's not a big problem. So that's the way we'll be working. The staff will be able to flex. Details of all of this will come out in a bit more detail than I can give over the phone, because it'll get a bit boring if you just hear me talking. I'd prefer to answer questions. So the detail will come out in the email that Rhiannon Pepper's been sending out with daily updates on what's happening about COVID-19. So that is the plan, and hopefully it will work reasonably well. As I say, the staffing has been looked at from a nursing and medical.
Rachel, we've lost you again.
Point of view, that Ryan gets really late. I'm in a dungeon, so. Should we go stand outside, see if it's any better?
It actually might be, if I'm honest.
Okay, I'll go stand outside in the cold. Hang on. Yeah. I'm moving to outdoors. I freeze my bloody ass off, but don't worry.
Are you not on the Wi-Fi?
No, because it doesn't work on the Wi-Fi in the hospital. It crashes every time. Hang on. Okay. Oh, okay, we just got to go stand in the sun. I should have 4G now. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that is better.
Okay. We're just heading out to be in the sunshine so we don't really freeze and away from the drills. Okay. So hopefully that's given everybody a bit of a summary. I am very happy to answer any questions specifics that people want to know about. Could you?
We're unmuted.
Right. I've hopefully unmuted everyone who hasn't muted themselves. But it still might get a bit noisy.
Okay, Sue and I are stood in the sunshine, so go crazy.
Can I just ask a few basic things, because I haven't been in all week and I'm just so firstly, is the morning handover still on and is that functioning normal? So when we go in, can you turn up to the morning handover?
Yes.
And the post night handover, that's been cancelled, is that right?
Not that I'm aware of, but I can find that out for you.
Just because there was a message on the Peds Reg group saying that that the post night handover was cancelled and they weren't going to do anymore. A point of view of having lots of people in the same room, would it not be a good idea to do that virtually as well? So to have like a post night debrief, so last handover virtually that people could log into?
Yeah. Oh, hello. Yeah, so the post night standard, I have to check about. They have been minimising the number of people in the room and trying to do sort of little huddles in different areas, just to try and keep people from hanging out together for too long a period of time. So that is being looked into. And they've also opened up the downstairs room, so it's twice as big. So we're making everybody spread out. I've known everybody in that office in the PEDS room, you're not 2 meters apart, spread now.
Okay, so Rachel, so Daniel's son's just asking via the chat that he'd been told there was no more post-night debrief, so I think we probably need to clarify that.
I'll double check, yeah.
Because I'd be really keen that there is one, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in person.
Yeah. I will try and find out. To be brutally honest, I've been in a meeting at the time of the post-night's handover. It may well be that it's just the rooms have been used as meetings, so they haven't been able to do it.
Rachel, you probably don't need to do that. What's the best way of finding that out quickly? I mean, because...
To be honest with you, it's probably... I'm going to see Scott after this anyway, so I'll just ask him.
Okay.
I'm here in the sunshine at work, so...
I put people's video back on. Oh, sorry. Can people wave if they want to ask a question? And then I'll...
Yeah.
From Amy, I think it's back.
There's the adult porta cabin for anybody who wants to see it.
Where's that? Outside the reception. Reception.
That's adults. Ours looks the same, but it's smaller.
So what was the question from? Someone put their hand up, and I thought it was Amy, but maybe it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
And Amy answered me. Rachel.
Yep.
Is there, in the little porta cabin, will the patients actually booked in there? Because if we're deflecting, we'll need some way of being able to document a discussion with the family to say, you know, that worries me.
That's all covered.
Okay.
So the triage sieve basically says that if you deflect from the front door, you have to keep the triage sieve paperwork, and it retrospectively gets logged on the computer, so we will not lose any of the patients that come through.
On the triage sieve, am I allowed to write not preterm, no work of breathing, cough holder?
Yeah, I mean, it's got a set of obs and everything on it. Anybody who doesn't feel happy deflecting doesn't have to deflect. They can just come in and they can have a full assessment. That's not a problem. We realise some people will be more comfortable with doing that than others. So
I'm happy if I can write about 4 or 5 lines. If I can't write 5 lines, I'm less happy.
So you can write on the back of the piece of paper as well if you want, Amy.
Thanks. That would be good. I'll be a deflector then.
When's that being finalised?
The triage sieve.
Yeah.
So I showed it to Band 7's PEDS ACPs and all levels of nurses last night, and we changed one further thing on it, so it is pretty much finalized. So I can ping the final ones to you, and essentially it'll be in the department on Monday for people to be able to see, but it doesn't go live until Tuesday.
It real time, just so they can get.
Pardon?
Might be useful for people to have seen it before the first time they use it. So can we just share email when we've agreed?
Yeah, I'm happy to share it. Equally, if people are at home at the weekend, I want them to relax rather than stressing about work. It's idiot proof, honestly. It's been formulated to be idiot proof.
People are here this afternoon and they will be here next week. They don't have to look at it at the weekend.
No worries. Okay, well, I can send it around as long as everybody knows that it has gone through a few iterations and we have had a lot of involvement. So if you spot a spelling mistake, by all means, let me know. But it's not altering any further than that for now.
Okay. Daniel's asking, are we going to be sitting in full PPE in the porta cabin? Will just be the same as what we've got.
You'll be in soft PPE in the porta cabin.
But different
has to be changed every patient.
Apron and gloves every patient.
Well, in the triage room, we're not, I don't think everybody's changing their apron and gloves every patient. In theory, you should probably not even going to touch the patient because they'll just be taking down the history. Yeah, so yes. Yeah. And you've got a heater in there. And
I'm just going to say, I'll show you all the CSSU stuff, Rachel, but just a couple of thoughts about sedation's obviously going to have to go after summer. I don't know whether we need to let people know that because we're not going to have an HDU or resus space to be able to give sedation.
So we'll have a senior discussion offline about that because actually there's a monitor in the treatment room on CSSU and oxygen and suction. So we can have a discussion offline about that if we need to.
Oh, and what about the ward clerk on short stay?
They will become the receptionist who books people onto the system.
Okay, awesome.
Not all of them will do patient centre.
Whoever you have to speak up a little bit.
CSSU receptionists can book onto patient centre. Nerve centre, sorry.
They are all being rapidly trained to do so. I'm not very good at intubating patients, but I'm going to have to do it in a couple of weeks. So, and do adults. So,
can I ask a question, Rachel?
Yes.
While we're quiet at the moment, if there's anything that you want us to do, let us know now before things start to pick up.
Yeah, no, definitely, Sadie. I'm going to come up to see you guys after we finish this and have a little walkthrough with Amy. And there is some stuff that I will bring up for you guys to distribute around the place to help out. Thank you very much.
Great, okay.
Rachel, Catherine has just asked about what's going to be in the decon area. I don't even know what the decon area is. So. Catherine's asked, what is going to be in the decon area?
In the decontamination area that we have currently, the cupboard, or in the ambulance pod out the back?
Catherine, where the theoretical fridge will be.
Oh, so that's already, okay, so that's the ambulance pod out the back. So that's the donning and doffing area for hard PPE for the resus staff. So we won't have a doctor and nurse in resus the whole time because we're not going to have the footfall. To a donning and doffing area with some furniture and a fridge and various drinks, etc. For them to be able to have a rest area and also be able to get changed appropriately into their PPE and out of their PPE. Boys, is nighttime handover happening in the morning debrief? Is the night debrief stopped or is it still happening? Yeah. Back fine. Catherine, I will speak to you later about the nighttime handover. I've got all my team on. Do you want to say hi to them? Say hi. At social distance isolation. Right. Okie dokie.
Catherine just asked about a list of drills to do over the weekend. Who's on over the weekend?
Catherine and Gareth are on over the weekends. Where they pretended that people had to put PPE on. I think it would be worthwhile if it's quiet. There's a resus doll in CSSU. And I think it would be useful to do the odd drill over the weekend just to remind people that they do need to put on full PPE if they're going to be intubating anybody or bagging them. You don't actually have to put on the PPE because we don't want to waste it, but they pretended and counted for I think 5 to 10 minutes just to give people an idea of how long it was going to take.
There's also a drill that Andy Reeves has written, Catherine, that is just being checked over at the moment. And I hope to share that with everyone later this afternoon, so you've got a pro forma to work through. Hopefully I'll distribute that by 4 o'clock so everyone has access to it. When everyone on the shop floor and you're quiet, you can start practicing things. Daniel's asked a question about reflecting people and if they return significantly ill. I'll pick that up with you directly, Dan.
Hey, you sounded like a cyborg there, so try that one again.
Daniel's asking a question about legal protection for deflection, which I'm not going to cover now. The principle is if you're not happy deflecting, you don't have to.
Exactly. And the GMC are providing legal protection for everybody. So, but yeah, you don't have to deflect. It's just there to be the option if you want to. Because we are occasionally getting people turning up who just want to have a swab and see if they've got COVID. They don't need to be here, they can be deflected.